Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time to play with pain, where sports and inaccuracy collide. Now, here's your host, veteran sportscaster, and the voice of the International Speed Fishing Championships, Chet Waterhouse.
Oh, brother! Hello again, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. My guest today, tremendous actor whose resting face is sarcastic, Mr. Craig Bierko. We're going to talk to Craig in just a sec. But first, time for the Waterhouse Update, brought to you by Jehovah's Witness Protection. Disappear into the warm grip of the Lord at Jehovah's Witness Protection. America's pastime. No, not trying to figure out if that biker two lanes over is a cop. Baseball. Giants, like a con man explaining cryptocurrency. They just keep coming at you. Dodgers, so many injuries, you'd think their flimsy back deck had collapsed. Milwaukee lurking with intent to loom. The Padres, tougher sledding than R. Kelly's trial. And the Mets are disappearing so fast. Even David Blaine said, hey, show me how you do that. Wrap up sponsored by Slacker Barrel. Come on in and eat or not. We don't care. NFL preseason has all the pizzazz of a TED Talk on participial phrases. Packers Jordan Love taking all the snaps while Aaron Rodgers bids on a non-fungible token of a Banksy paintbrush. Bears say Andy Dalton will be there. Starter. Bears fans say see you week four. Sponsored by Tingles, the potato chip that comes in a can shaped like a dildo. Boxing. Jordanius Hugus beat Manny Pacquiao by one continent. Pacquiao will now run from the president of the Philippines. Oh, wait, check that. That's run for the president of the Philippines. Got it. College football opens Saturday. Nebraska Cornhuskers at the Illinois Fighting Illini in the insulting nickname kickoff classic. And finally, this week in sports history, the date 1919, the place Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland pitcher Ray Caldwell flattened by a bolt of lightning. The umpires ran to the mound, but only to inform him that he'd committed a balk. This Waterhouse Update sponsored by Observesa, the beer that's good for your eyes. Now, finally, it's talk time. My guest today, you've seen him in everything from the 13th floor to Scary Movie 4 to Kevin Can Wait. He's the good-looking guy who dates the heroine just so he can move in next to the bank vault. Please welcome Craig Bierko. Craig, how are you today? You look fantastic.
I'm all right. I can hear you. You don't even have to use the mic.
No, clean across the country.
That's a talent. That's theatrical training for you, isn't it?
Did you ever,
before your sports career, did you ever trod the boards, as they say? Did you ever act? Did you ever have another job other than yelling sports? Sports casting?
No, yelling sports is the correct term. For a long time, I was an auctioneer, and they didn't even mind that I was slow because it was so entertaining and loud. Even the cows seemed to enjoy it. Auctioned cattle out in the Midwest before I got into sports. Of course, now I'm the voice of International Speed Fishing, which, of course, as you know, Craig, is a combination of speed skating and ice fishing. It's a team sport that combines your elapsed lap time with the total weight of how much fish that you've caught. Russians disqualified every year. Norwegians 11 out of 12. Japanese snuck in there one year. Hey, enough about me. Let's get to you. I'm going to frame that face right there.
I'm sorry. I'm on another call and I'm getting some bad
sure.
news.
No problem.
Apparently, I'm doing this podcast.
Yeah, that's your agent telling you you're doing it, this podcast.
Yeah, they're right on it. They're so on it.
So watch out. Born and raised in New York. Now, a former
of Rye Brook, New York, the Lawn Gangs. You've heard of us.
Yeah, sure. The Blind Brook High School Trojans, if I'm not mistaken.
Trojans roll on. Trojans roll on. It was an actual headline.
Did you play any sports in grade school or high school? Did you care at all about sports?
First of all, namaste back to you. And yes, I did play sports.
It was inadvertent namaste, which still counts.
It doesn't matter. The God within you isn't always aware of what's going on outside. He's got to eat, make money. He's got probably wife and kids. So you
I'm
going to
say, the God within me is never aware of what I'm doing. Yeah.
Not aware. Yeah. I did play sports growing up. Blind Brook was actually an amazing experiment that really no longer exists. I went back to visit my high school. Originally, the town I grew up in was called the town of Rye, which is in Westchester. And Rye, I don't know how it's physically possible, but it's 10 square feet larger than everything ever. Rye is impossibly large. You tell people you're from Rye, you're like, do you know John DeVelo? And I'm like, buddy, it's a universe. It's expand. I mean, this is the only county that's actually expanding. That's how big it is.
Wow, that's like, impressive. You know,
and it's not. It's a poorly thought out on the fly joke, you know.
But have they ever decided maybe a West Rye or a North Rye? Or
no, there was nothing like that. Westchester. But Rye Incorporated became Rye Brook. And this gets even more interesting. And we had a horse school, and they developed their own, they wanted to have their own school. It was a public school, but I basically went to kindergarten with the same 100 people that I graduated high school with.
Wow.
And which is a really fantastic thing. Cause we are, it's like now it's at this point.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If a cult family, so it's it would be like the DeFranco family, because they had religious. They worship Satan, I believe. I don't want to talk.
They didn't paint the bus like it. They eased into it, you know. Halfway through their show, they dove into the satanic stuff.
I did play sports. We were small. We didn't have a football team. I don't even think there was a football.
We played soccer. And anything labeled an educational experiment in New York, I'm guessing there's probably no athletic gear whatsoever.
Well, I don't want to bore your fans, but the truth was, it was the only high school ever that was built where no windows were any smaller than floor to ceiling. And the reason being that when you were in school, subconsciously, you knew your size relative to the outside world. And because most high schools, the windows start here and go up. It's
right
the way they build prisons. And it's meant to subconsciously control and keep everybody in order. So that was kind of cool. Went back.
So you had floor to ceiling windows.
Windows.
So that you could plan your escape route. You could see right where you were going to go to get out of school.
They didn't care less. They didn't care. They'd actually ask what my favorite meat was and put it close to the front door. They wanted me out of there.
They wanted you out of there. Hey, that tip sponsored
by... I played soccer.
You played soccer. Which position? I understand there's positions in soccer.
I was a fullback. I was a fullback. I did not start. They created a B team for myself and my friend Mark Arkovitz. They had to build a bench. I have a picture I wish I'd bought, but there was a big slideshow at the end of the season. And not only that, I scored. I had a header. It was inadvertent. I didn't see it coming, but Warren Bernstein threw the foul shot in.
Wow.
At me. And I went, Jesus, God. Flies or Falcons, and I scored. And as I was running up the field, Coach Rosenhack, who I loved, went, "We're never going to hear the end of this one." And he was a great guy. May he rest in peace. And then we were the Triple C New York State champions, 1982 Rochester. Don't pretend not to remember it. And I played for 5 minutes in that game when we had a clear enough lead. That was basically my sports.
The Triple C is the division for schools with only picture windows, correct? Florida City.
Yeah.
It's about it. So if I understand this correctly, before we move on, you were at least to start the season, you were on the bench. But they did not have a bench, so they had to build one for you and the other
guys. I've always been
That's
proud
impressive.
Of that. And do you know impressive. I was so bad, they named it the Cleon Jones Memorial Bench. That's another sports. If you want sports reference, I can go 69 Mets. Ed Crane.
69 Mets all day. Rusty stuff.
But that's, I know enough about sports to get a girl who's interested in sports to sit next to me. And then I go, enough about the Islanders. Tell me about you. And it's the same with any instrument. I can play just enough until they sit down. If they don't sit down, I'm fucked. Can I say sit down? Can I say
absolutely.
Sit down?
You can say fuck. You can say anything you want. Sponsored, incidentally, by Throwbacks, the e-cigarette you light with a match. Let's talk a little acting. Now, you started working on big projects. You gave up the soccer career, which is a huge sacrifice. Yeah. You were like fresh out of college, and you were getting like TV roles and stuff. This, how'd you step into that? I mean, 22, I was still trying to figure out how to work the choke on a lawnmower. You had a career going. That's impressive to me.
Which is terrifying if you haven't yet learned how to work the choke on a lawnmower.
Yes.
And I know what you mean by that. I certainly knew how to choke the old lawnmower.
The old lawnmower.
No, I came out. Everybody, I went to Northwestern University, and everybody from Northwestern who went out to Los Angeles stayed at. There's a writer named Eric Gilliland. You may know his name. He ran
Roseanne
for a while.
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody slept on his couch, and I remember. I'm in New York now. I remember getting off the plane. He was real kind. He picked me up at the airport, 20-minute drive up the 405 to Jasmine Avenue, where he had one, you know, a cookie cutter apartment. But while I was driving, looking at the architecture, I realized I got it. I've got it. I understand this. I don't think there's anything more to see. I was there for 12 years, and it. That drive from the airport is really, unless you go out of Los Angeles, there's nothing else. It's yogurt shops and nail places and, you know.
So the mini mall tipped you to the architectural
the macro
heritage
mall.
LA
is
Southern California,
mall.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't mean to poop on LA, but I hate it there. How are you?
Listen, you went right back to it. But you were acting in movies.
Oh, yeah.
And projects and stuff.
Well, it wasn't quite like that, but I did things. I do have memories when I first got out there, which would have been 86 or 87. I remember driving up and down Melrose looking at restaurants, and I walked into every restaurant and said, "Do you need help?" And they're like, "No, of course not. You know, no, go away." And I could, but I do remember like, I had to get a job, and then I was fortunate enough to I got my first gig, and all it meant to me was that I didn't have to talk to mean restaurant people because I am the worst waiter in the world. I did wait table in New York at the American Festival Cafe, which is what happens to the Rockefeller ice skating rink during the summer. It's if you come to New York, if you're ever visiting New York and you want to see German tourists, go on to Rockefeller Center. You can look right down, and there's a whole gaggle of them feeding.
Wow.
What you learn is you work really, really hard and you don't make tips. They don't tip because they're not coming back.
No.
So,
no.
It was a weight loss program, you know, is really what it was.
I got
monumentally depressed, wondered what I was doing with my life, and then moved out to Los Angeles. And I had 12 great years there, but then it was time to come home.
I can't imagine why you'd be a bad waiter. with your ability to take tangents.
So. That's all I am is a reference. If you, there's no core, there's no story. I once said, but I digress. And the person said, You can't digress if you haven't actually started talking yet, technically.
Of substance. Sponsored, incidentally, by Incognito. Yet never guess we're plumbers. So then you hit the boards back in New York. You sing and do the whole thing. You played Sky Masterson in Guys and Dolls. That had to be a kick.
Well, the problem was I did play Sky Masterson, but it was in The Music Man, and that was an embarrassment for everybody. I played Harold Hill in Guys and Dolls. It was a mix-up.
Yeah.
No, I did. I played Guys and Dolls.
They're mashing Broadway musicals now to try to make money. They're actually combining them.
Yeah. And it's only Kristen Chenoweth.
Oh, yeah. No, she's the only one who can take it. She covers most of the parts.
I played AAA ball with her while she was doing Wicked. I mean, she's busy. She works.
She is very busy.
She's a firecracker.
Man, yeah. Uh-huh. An illegal firecracker, I think. Yeah. I don't think you can buy that.
If I can ask you, sir, what's I know you comment on sports,
yes,
and you're like the Bernard Shaw of sports. You are right. You project meaning onto it for the layman.
Well, not the George Bernard Shaw, but the old CNN anchor Bernard Shaw. Yes, I'm sort of like that to sports, but mostly third tier sports. Class CCC high school. The weak-handed axe throwing championships, which is a bloody mess, but wildly entertaining. And I do the interstate barehanded culvert hunt every year. That's a good one. and of course, I've got the blindfolded darts championships coming up pretty soon. I think I gotta check my calendar.
Oh, that's cool. So if I need restaurant recommendations for Tidewater, I go to you.
Right in. Yeah, sure. Rapid City, all over that. I'm the third tier version of your buddy Brockmeyer. He hit the majors, I stayed down. Yeah.
We had a bit of a falling out. There was a sometimes because of my head trauma. I'm not sure if you understood that.
Soccer. That soccer header took it out.
Well, it wasn't that. I get very frustrated. I didn't understand long division, and I started hitting myself on the head with a heavy lamp in the second grade, they had to separate me from the lamp, which was hard enough.
Wow. But they had to get me to the doctor. With all that glass, they wouldn't need lamps. But go ahead. I digress.
I don't listen, so it's okay. Don't matter. I just, when I see your face stops making shapes, I figure you're buffering or it's time for me to talk. But when I came to, I was talking in a, here, I'll show you.
Okay.
How long was I out? I'm not sure how long I was out. Hey, have you caught the game this weekend between the San Francisco Montecitos and the New York silhouettes of McLean Stevenson's pear-shaped body. What a game that was. What a winter swing of events. But I was the brother of a sportscaster. He went into sportscasting, and man, oh man, did he make a living. But, you know, I inherited the voice, and I went into a performance, and here I am, you know, curtain up, hey, to be or not to be. That is the question, whether it's noble in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. And if you're hungry, why not have a Nathan's hot dog at your local, you know.
So that's a fantastic character. That's brilliant. I love that. You should now, do you like the comedy more? Because you're known for some darker stuff too. You got into some deep roles there, some dramatic stuff, and yet it appears to me you have a natural penchant and affinity even for comedy. So nice. which way do you like to go? If you had a preference, which way would you go?
I would say comedy, which I find, and I think it's more challenging. I think that's like it's much more challenging. And if you're, you know, I grew up, I think I'm not the only one, but it's kind of a defense mechanism while you're trying different personalities. And I discovered, oh, I can It can make people laugh, escape in a difficult situation, or get a teacher to ignore the wrong answer I'm given, whatever. And then I've always been such a fan. Like I'm the guy who ran home after school to watch Mike Douglas, you know,
yeah, sure.
to see the comic. And
sure, absolutely.
I knew, and I was very aware of you and a big fan. When I saw your name on Twitter, was excited that you answered me back. I mean,
you're a comedy geek.
I am a comedy geek.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So much so that I hate the term geek because, I'm a sex geek, but I'm a comedy aficionado.
I
never considered doing stand up. I used to date a comic, and she was always like, "Well, why don't you get on stage and do it? You're funny." And I was like, "Yeah, the world needs me to tell them about the difference between Los Angeles and New York. That's information the human race lacked." And we did for a while. We did something that was sort of meta. She would talk about. She'd describe her boyfriend, and then I would come out and do an act who was sober, was literally sober. And I would come out completely drunk, drinking from bourbon and crying about Dean Martin's passing. And then we wrote each other's insults. We get into an argument on stage, and we'd see how long we could keep people believing it. And that was it. But and it went well. People liked it, but it wasn't, you know, she didn't like the idea of doing the same thing every night. We were going to tour. This was years ago. We were going to tour the improvisations, you know,
sure.
around the country.
Yeah.
A
big circuit. Is 43 counting Panama, Manila, and Gdansk. There's 43.
Okay. Gdansk improv. Let's sure. bring them up. Come on. In the house. Oh, I shouldn't have said house. That's insensitive. Under the tree.
Under the tree.
But I just didn't. It's hard to be a comic, isn't it? You get up
it
there,
can
and
be tough.
That's,
yeah,
that's a deafening silence when you're not talking.
I found here's the other side of that sword, though. What do they call it? A double edge. There you go. Is that here's the hard part of acting, if you ask me. You got to make other people's words funny. When you're writing the whole thing, then you know it's funny because you've tried it out. And then some.
You don't know it's funny. What you know is you're going to go into a room with men in sweaters. They're wearing very bright sweaters. And they're sitting there and you're going to stand in front of them and convince them that what they've written is funny.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yeah, that's the name of the game.
Rare
that's
exception.
Difficult. That is super difficult.
That was the rare exception. And also so much of it, and it's not the same way anymore because this is how we audition now over the, you know, over a calculator.
Sure.
But it's where most show business is occurring. But I used to love going into my favorite part of the audition was going into the room and sort of, you know, claiming you find a way to claim the room. You talk, you know, you like you do. I would imagine when you take stage, you have to take stage, or the audience gets very uncomfortable.
Right. It's an energy control.
I would say that led to if I could point to anything, because it certainly wasn't technique. It was that I was very comfortable doing that. I grew up in a family of salespeople. I understood what that was.
Right.
That you don't sell anybody anything. You sell friendship. They've come into a store to buy. So they're bringing you in to solve their problem. You really, it's all the heavy lifting has been done with the writing. You just need to show them who you are.
Wow.
And I found it was very helpful. You know,
that life tip, incidentally, sponsored by My Pillow Case. Make any pillow your pillow with My Pillow Case. Let's talk a little sports. Forced into rooting for the Mets and Jets or the Yankees Giants. They seem to pair up that way. A lot of Mets fans are also Jets fans. And I understand that your depth of sports knowledge has been developed strictly so that you can get through conversations with either women or groups of men screaming at a television.
Exactly. When I saw my first baseball game, and I say that not having listened to what you said, but I
of course, I barely heard it.
I, I actually
I'm
did learn.
Screaming for God's sake.
I got through school. I learned how to listen in school in a way that it would have been, of course, a teacher wouldn't. I was so with the teacher and what she was teaching. I listened in a way that it, she wouldn't waste time asking somebody who obviously knew the answer, even though I wasn't listening to a word. I was just picturing, you know, one of the girls in the class, like strapped to the blackboard nude.
Sure.
I would listen like,
how could, honestly, how could you pay attention to anybody in a class where the goddamn windows floor to ceiling? I would never have looked at anything. But
what I didn't tell you about that school was that they lit fire around the school so you wouldn't leave.
Oh, so
it was actually, it was traumatic. It wasn't so that to enable you or empower you. It was to scare the living shit out of you.
I believe that's the new repressive school, I think they called it.
I'm determined to answer one of your questions during this podcast.
This is it. All right, let's make it this.
You asked me. So if you want to ask me that again, I'll listen this time. And if you want to ask, that's what I'll go.
So who'd you root for? Hey, growing up, who did you root for? So many New York teams. Who'd you pick out and root for?
I tried really hard. So I was a Met fan because I was born in 64. So I was conscious of the 69 Mets what that was. And enough so that Cleon Jones, Wayne Garrett, you know, Ed Crane, Poole, Ron Swoboda.
Ron Swoboda, yeah.
Ron Swoboda. The actual
he's headlining at the at the Gdansk Improv, Ron Swoboda.
He just goes by Swoboda now. It's like a showman kind of thing.
Oh, it's
like,
it's magic.
Swoboda, the great Swoboda. Yeah.
Sure.
Who else was with it? Tom Seaver, who we just lost.
Yeah, right? Sure.
But I remember my dad took me to a Jets game. And it was I was really excited, and I was bonding with dad. Nice to meet that guy too. Nice guy.
Sure.
He happened by, said, let's go to a Jet game. You are Chris. I'm like Craig, but this will be fine. So when I walked out of the, what is that? In the theater, it's the VOM, but I walked out of the tunnel and we were way high up.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I mean, that was really incredible to like see that kind of, I'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah.
And then I looked down and it looked like somebody dropped a book of matches. And he said, no, that's the field. That's the field. And it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like literally in hypothermia. Like, he's like, you want maybe some cocoa? I'm like, are you fucking kidding? And I realized he explained the game to me and I was like, that's a pretend problem. It's a pretend problem involving a ball. They've got to move it over there. If they don't,
yeah,
they won't get a bonus. We paid to get in and getting paid to do this. It didn't make any, I'm not even joking. I couldn't get past that. I didn't understand. Yeah. It was like, I got real issues I got to attend to. I can't sit here and watch yourself.
It's a little bit of a sort of a Trotsky-esque approach to being a fan is the actual concept of
what
the
is what's
game.
The Trotsky? Just I want in on this because I know it's going to be great. But what? Tell me Trotsky's point of view in terms of this joke.
He would think it useless to have a competitive game in which people are not only getting paid to play the game,
okay,
but in which fan is paying to watch it. He would go essentially get to work is sort of where.
How many shots of Trotsky have you seen with any kind of a team hat on? I respect the man who lives
none.
His philosophy.
Yeah, none.
You know?
He didn't even have a Russian hockey team. No, nothing. He had nothing.
I liked playing sports. I liked the. Like I said, I was on the B team. I got what I had is great seats. I had a great. I had like Nicholson seats for our game.
Sure.
Yeah, and there's this great shot because there was at the end of our award our championship season, we had a big thing, and then there was a slideshow and all these like beautiful athletic shots, these action shots. They hired a photographer, and the final shot was me from behind looking on the field, carrying the water, literally carrying the water.
Wow.
I'll have to find the shot. I'll send it to you because it's like that's me in sports in a nutshell.
That is this year's Christmas card for the Bierko family. One last question, Craig Bierko. I know you're a Northwestern alum. I'm a Wisconsin alum.
Oh, yeah.
Do you care about that game? who's going to win that? Because they play each other fairly evenly because, and this is my belief, because they still value the grade point average on the football team. So it's a little harder to get into either of those institutions, yeah, even if you're a football player. So it's always a good tussle. At halftime, they usually have a science fair, the teams. So it's very interesting. But did you go to Northwestern games and did you like football?
Pre-digression, and then you be my handicap barn, bring me back, okay? Because I'm going to go off to the access road. I don't want to drive off into the
desert. I'm there.
Bring me back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frontage road.
Isn't it funny that you just said, in all seriousness, you can be a great football player and not get into the university.
Yes.
And we wonder why we're a fucked up country. You can be a great football player and you can't work for NASA. I've seen that's documented. It's so hilarious to me. And it's true. Yes. I mean, to me was funny. I went to Northwestern when Northwestern was the punchline. So going to games, which I went to a few, was actually fun because I'd never had, nor will I ever have again, the experience of sitting in a field going, I'm better than everybody on that field. I could beat the entire team just telling stories.
Just
cracker barreling. I could cracker barrel.
Lull the opponent into a sense of entertainment. Then they're not paying attention and you scoot right by them with the ball. That's a very interesting theory. I like it. Incidentally, sponsored by three guys from Italy restaurant. Why do you got to know their names? What's it to you anyway? You like the food? Shut up and eat. My guest today, the amazing.
What are any of these things sponsoring?
I don't know. They pay me $15. $7.50 if I fumble it, because their name still gets out there. That's all I know. My guest today, the incredible Craig Bierko. If you're on the Twitter, follow him at Mr. Craig Bierko, and you'll get this level of hilarity and fun the entire time. And where else? What are you doing that we could see you in, or that you might have coming up? If we're in New York, or if you're in a movie or television, let us know where we can see Craig Bierko.
Oh, well, I just did there. I got two movies now that are on Amazon Prime, you know, so if you want to watch something on a telephone, and who doesn't? But there's one called Scenes from an Empty Church, which is actually very beautiful, very funny movie starring Kevin Corrigan. Paul Reiser's in it, who has a beautiful. Paul Reiser made me cry with one line. I don't want to.
Wow.
But literally, I got choked up. You know, like when Jack Nicholson shows up in Terms of Endearment?
Yes.
Okay, then you're gay. Then you're gay. No.
There's no problem with that.
That feeling. I don't either. The feeling of like something like that happens where that's what Paul Reiser created, a beautiful moment like that.
Wow.
Definitely a great movie. And then there was, what's the other movie that is out. I can't believe it. It just came out.
You kind of push that one to the top, and then
I know, and it's my least favorite of the two.
Who remembers the silver medalist? Who the hell gives a crap what that second movie is? Craig Bierko, thank you so much for coming on. If it comes to you, by all means, blurt it out in the middle of the rest of this.
Oh,
crap.
Well, because it's a sports show. If you haven't seen Cinderella Man, and I don't make any money off of this, you know, I don't get anything out of the, you know, there's no, the Max Bear doll isn't selling well.
Oh, wow. Can you play me out? Can you use that guitar and play me out?
Sure.
I got a couple of plugs left. Yeah, play any chord you know. I know it's just there to get chicks. Oh, there you go. Oh, he's going to pop up.
Is one kind of a swing, and I want to tell you that I am so emotionally distraught, and I'm looking for a tricyclic rather than SSRI, if anybody can recommend a decent antidepressant, get me out of this funk I've been in. Say,
speaking of depressed, look at the Cubs. Man, oh, man, lost 9-10.
Oh, I was at Northwestern in 86, and I saw an entire town experience a singular depression. My girlfriend at the time she was like, I really am sinking into a depression. They blew the pennant that year. That's the year they right.
Is that the year Steve Bartman stuck his big fat paws out, or was that further down the line? Wasn't there a fan who stuck his hands out into the
yes. I don't care. No, I just loved it. I love Harry.
You know, you were saying Chicago's that out loud. You were saying.
No, I'm not. I'm going to masturbate after this. I don't. I used to have that problem, but man, am I going to go at it after
most
this.
Of my guests masturbate after. Yeah, during it. Yeah, sure. Follow me on Twitter at Chet Waterhouse and my comedian buddy at Real Jeff Cesario. Jeff's album, What Was I Thinking? Streaming everywhere. The Play With Pain mugs available at jeffcesario.com up in the corner there. If you want more of me this weekend, I'll be in Chutes and Ladders, Kentucky at Vulcanized Rubber Raceway for the Hoverboard 500. Reminder, no infield seating as the 700 ambulances will be parked there, sponsored, incidentally, Craig, by the Marianas Trench Coat, featuring the deepest pockets in the business. This is Chet Waterhouse reminding you to play with pain.